We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Quarter number four of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We've covered a lot of ground so far. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. We also have some ground to cover when it looks looking ahead to the 2019 season. It's part of our player profile series right now. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Check out their June special. Buy one, get one free for the first two games of the season, Idaho and Buffalo. You get an RV for one of those games. You get one for free for the same weekend. Like I said, good through the end of June. So call Mark today or go check out GoPSURV.com for more details. To reach out to Mark, 1-800-519-8467. This segment, it's a trenches segment. We're making our way down through numerically down the roster. And right now, Daniel Joseph, Fred Hansard, Rasheed Walker. So you've got a big defensive end. You've got a defensive tackle looking to try to get healthy. And you've got an offensive tackle who is really, in some respects, the key to everything offensively. So let's start with Daniel Joseph here, Greg. We have an idea that Penn State has outstanding depth at defensive end. You know about Yetur Gross-Matos. You hope Shaka Toney takes the next step in his career. You hope that Jason Owe is as electrifying on the field as he is in the workout room. You have some indications that these things can happen. One guy that we don't discuss very much in this regard, and Shane Simmons is another guy. There are so many questions, and he comes from such a heralded recruiting background that understandably we're looking at him. But I don't think a lot of people have very high expectations for Daniel Joseph or see him as much of a factor here. And I think it's worth, as we kick this segment off, just wondering, is that fair to Daniel Joseph that he's nope. Living in the shadows here?
No, it certainly is not. But I think that, you know, it's the Daniel George factor, right? With Justin Shorter. I mean,
right.
You're just bound to talk about some guys more than others based on their recruiting ranking. And that it might not be fair. It might not be right. But it's the way that these things tend to operate. So, yeah, with Daniel Joseph, I think that you've seen him grow a good bit. And that obviously has allowed him to move inside, and I think his ceiling is probably higher than what most people think it is, just because of the fact that, you know, there's some depth there, but not a ton, which means he should have a chance to get on the field and play. And once he does that, who knows what can happen. But I like him a lot. He's developed well. Sean Spencer spoke highly of him during the spring, and he's a guy I think you're going to see play pretty much this fall.
It's interesting as you look at the side by side. So Shane Simmons, when he's coming out of high school, once at one point a 5-star prospect, depending mm-hmm. on where you looked, his recruiting stock fell a little bit towards the end. Questions about, I think it's fair to say, functional playing strength. And now you look at where he's at now, which Audrey Snyder, our friend from The Athletic, sent out a photo of Shane Simmons and said he's up over 260 pounds, which is where he wants to be. There's some optimism about that. As of right now on Penn State's official roster, listed at 6'3", 250. At the same time, Daniel Joseph listed at 6'3", 254. He left, and I don't have the side-by-side in front of me at the moment, but left high school really a bigger, thicker kid than Shane Simmons did. I think he's just maybe a little bit more naturally strong than Shane Simmons. He was 6'3", 240 coming out of school. Shane Simmons was listed at 221 coming out of school. So I lied. I actually do have the side-by-side in front of me.
You did, yeah.
So there were never really concerns, I guess, about Daniel Joseph holding up from a size and strength perspective. He was a 4-star from Illinois. I think even in that recruiting class, Greg, he was a bit of an afterthought again because of Shane Simmons ahead of him. But he does have an opportunity here. Looking at their top four or top six rotation, there's a lot of different scenarios where Daniel Joseph plays a bigger role than you might expect.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, no, I think that he's a guy that you kind of just hit it all in the head. He's been growing well. He's been bulking up, and now he has a chance to get on the field. So going back to Shane Simmons, yeah, I mean, He looks the part. He always has. But is this going to be the year he finally puts it all together? That's really the question. And if he does, Penn State's defensive line will be better for it. And if not, it'll be a bit of a disappointment. Kind of the same thing with Daniel Joseph, quite frankly. If Penn State gets a lot of production from him, this will just further already looking pretty good defensive tackle group. And if not, then it'll be kind of disappointing, but they'll still be okay.
Next guy on our list, I think, is one of the more interesting players in the 2019 season, but also in the recent history of Penn State's program. Fred Hansard is a guy who really snapped a bit of bad luck when he committed to Penn State. So he's a kid from New Jersey, from the Hun School, who was committed to Florida for a good while, I think. And late in the 2017 recruiting cycle, Penn State made a push. At that point in time, Penn State was not having very much success or very much luck or some combination of both when it came to recruiting defensive tackles. They land Fred Hansard in that class, and they haven't really had a problem recruiting defensive tackles since. So I think I'll always remember Fred Hansard as a guy who helped turn the tide for Penn State. You haven't seen a lot of that come to fruition yet, because it takes a lot of time to groom a high school defensive tackle into somebody who can play with grown men in the Big Ten. Fred Hansard started doing that last year. He had, what was it, a foot issue that sidelined him for most of the season?
Yeah, he had a gnarly issue early in the year, and that kept him out pretty much the whole season. Yeah, it sounds like he's been better and getting better and should be a contributor this year, so that's a plus. But yeah, he had something wrong with him early last season that really put him on the shelf.
And we saw him at the blue-white game, which, I mean,
that's right.
When the dust started to settle on that, that was one of, I think, the more significant things we did see, that they felt good enough about where he was at health-wise. And they can't say the same for anybody, for other guys in that respect, Tommy Stevens being one of them. They felt good enough about Fred Hansard's health to put him out there in the blue-white game. And he's another guy where there are a lot of different scenarios on the table. You look at the one sure thing at defensive tackle, right? There's one sure thing at defensive tackle for Penn State. There's a lot of other possibilities at defensive tackle, but Robert Windsor is the only guy, I think, who is a known commodity to you. Antonio Shelton, Ellison Jordan, Judge Culpepper, P.J. Mustafer, you feel great about him. Damian Barber, you feel great about him. Even Fred Hansard, you feel good about him. The injury from last year kind of taints your expectations, I think, for him, but there's a lot. It's wide open to really win some snaps, I think, is the best way to put it.
For sure.
And Fred Hansard can be that guy at 6'3", 310. He's the heaviest guy in that defensive tackle rotation, and he plays that way too. I think you're looking at a guy who plays with power, who, you know, the one thing that stood out to me was there's just not a lot of quickness involved. But for him, he can be a space clogger for sure. And if he's healthy, who knows?
Yeah, I really like the potential of Penn State's defensive tackle pitcher, but you kind of just hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of questions about the depth there for sure, and just how good this group can be. It was a question we probably won't be able to answer until, you know, the end of September at the earliest. I mean, there's a lot of potential. There's a lot of highly, very talented guys, but there's also a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unprovenness from this group. So you put all that together, and yeah, it's going to take a while, I think, for this group to really sort of go to the next level, but they certainly have a chance to do so. I mean, we saw a lot of good stuff from P.J. Mustafer last year. We've heard Antonio Shelton's really turning the corner. You know what you're going to get from Robert Windsor, and he could even be better this year. That whole, Gil Brandt said he was a top five senior tackle. I mean, that's pretty high praise. So
not high enough for him, though.
No.
Remember his comment I'm going to be at the top of that list in April.
Maybe will be. I mean, Penn State could have two defensive linemen go in the first round if that's the case. We'll see. Probably not. But you never know.
Even if Robert Windsor is a draft pick, then I think he will have served Penn State well.
Oh,
and
for sure.
It's interesting, and I don't think I mentioned Antonio Shelton in this regard. It's interesting having Robert Windsor there because he's big enough to play that space clogger role. He's also quick enough to be that disruptor. So you have some different opportunities, I think, to pair him with different types of guys. Like Antonio Shelton is a candidate to start, and you're able to start him next to Robert Windsor because he can be that penetrator type. Ideally, you have one guy who's going to line up. company is going to take up space. You have one guy who's going to be more your disruptor. Robert, the fact that Robert Windsor can be either of those things gives you different types of opportunities. You compare Damian Barber, PJ Mustipher, and I don't think I mentioned Antonio Shelton before, and I definitely wanted to do that because he could be a starter. He could be one of those like unofficial starters where PJ Mustipher is the more valuable of the two players, and that's not a knock against Shelton. That's just saying that PJ Mustipher has a chance to be really special.
Yes.
But Fred Hansard is another. You can put Fred Hansard and Robert Windsor on the field in rushing situations. So there are some different I guess the moral of the story is that the six man rotation could have some different looks, and it could have guys can be rising and falling up and down that rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that'll make Sean Spencer's job really interesting because he's going to have a lot of decisions to make and things to figure out as the season gets closer, because there's, again, a ton of talent in that room, but not a lot of it's proven, which means everyone's going to get their shot, and we'll see who wins out in the end.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. Quarter number four, we're looking at Penn State's roster going down some offensive and defensive linemen. The segment brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Rashid Walker, the man on the spot, presumably your starter at left tackle. It's hard to see this offense reaching its potential if Rashid Walker isn't A, ready to play right away, and B, going to develop as the year goes on. I think they have a lot of belief in him, but at the same time, he is a true freshman. It's not customary to play such an important role so early in their career, especially when James Franklin has spoken out against that scenario. Anyway, it just speaks to where Penn State is at from a tackle depth perspective, that he is a no doubt about it kind of starter. They're willing to live with the cons because they see a lot of pros in Rashid Walker. You think Penn State's offense has a lot of potential. This is just one of the pieces that has to come together in order for them to be very, very good. Obviously with Sean Clifford, the wide receiver depth chart, you're looking at new faces in the backfield. So there are some variables on the offense, but none more so, none bigger than I think the tackle spot.
Yeah, it's, we talked a lot glass half full, glass half empty, six in one hand, half dozen in the other kind of stuff. But I mean, at some point, other schools across the country get their four-star offensive tackles on the field pretty early. True. And it's time for Penn State to do the same. I mean, I agree with what James Franklin said probably about 6 or 8 months ago now about, people were maybe forcing Michael Bennett to play before Michael Bennett was ready to play, and that led to some disappointment about him not getting on the field as quickly as most thought he would. But at the same time, again, you have four-star recruits and you do a good job on the trail, you have to get those guys on the field. I know it takes longer with the offensive line, but guess what? Other schools do it too. When you get players that are the top of their class and in their position in the country, you got to get them on the field and make them help you, and that's what Penn State has to do this year with Walker.
There you go. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a lot more player profiles here at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Download the Keystone Sports app, and we'll see you next time.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA-preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.